Warning, we just got back from vacation. We're sunburnt, hungover, and exhausted, so we can't be held responsible for what we say this week. Listener discretion is advised. Coming to you from America's Weighing, this is Florida Men, the podcast for Tuesday, May the 7th, 2019.
Each week, we bring you stories from the shady side of the Sunshine State, starring America's most prolific criminal, Florida Man.
And in this week's episode,
Florida man tries to throw a 7-foot gator out of his backyard.
Can't wait to see how that worked out. Florida man thinks his girlfriend is hiding something in their bedroom.
Florida man tries to dip his fingers in the sheriff's office ink, but is caught red-handed.
And Florida man is so busy breaking into stores that he needs to hire an assistant.
Plus, a fabulous Florida fact, listener email and V-mail, and much, much more.
We want to start tonight's show with we wanted to set the record straight on something. Back early in our earlier recordings, I think it was episode 5. We covered a story about a Florida man who was arrested after his son ate all the Cheez-Its, and we made some comments about the Cheez-Its and my love of Cheez-Its, and this was one of the few, if not the only show we've ever done relating to an abuse type story and one that was the minor. We were actually contacted by the son whose father was arrested, and we wanted to make a couple clarifications, kind of set the story straight on something. Since the guy who was the one who was assaulted is a minor, I'm not going to give his name. So because he's a minor, we won't say his first name in this, but we did want to correct as far as the pronunciation of their name, and it's spelled Knudsen, and the K is actually pronounced, so it's Knudsen. We also wanted us to know that he was there were some other instances within the story that was not necessarily true of what was reported. And we were just reading what the newspaper had put out. So from that particular error, it wasn't in as far as who called the cops. The dad was actually the one that called the cops, not the son. So there was some reporting instances in this that were incorrect that he wanted to set the record straight with it. And it, also from the
he said he didn't do he what he definitely wasn't the one that drank the sweet tea either.
Yeah. So we did want to say that number one is that this was done when we first did this. This was way back in the archives of earlier this last year, when we probably had 20 or 30 listeners, and now that we've gotten quite a few more in the thousands, it's not. We knew that one day there would probably be an instance where we would actually cover a story from somebody and end up being contacted by them, which is fine. We just report the facts as they is, and in comedy aspect, we do report on what and comment on what is in public record. But in regards to the fact that this one was involved a child and child abuse, we felt obligated to set the record straight. And if there were certainly no ill intent or condonance of abuse or by any stretch of the imagination, is something to be made fun of. So from that standpoint, we're going to be a little bit more cautious on in the future on our make sure that none of this in regards children or child abuse stories. And just wanted to make those comments.
I got that message from him when we were on vacation, but back now, how are you recovering from our weekend of debauchery?
I'm drinking water today. Been drinking water all day. I don't want to even hold a glass of liquor right now. Yeah, I am had
enough, huh?
Yep, I'm out for at least another, I'm going to say at least another 3 hours. Then I should be all right.
3 hours. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we're pounding water right now.
Yeah, I would say my blood is probably about 25% ibuprofen at this point.
Yeah. It was a good time. And if you heard the podcast last week, we were recording on Daytona Beach, and we had some technical difficulties, lost some footage at the very end, and was in no shape to redo it. So we called it quits and said, you know what, sometimes shit happens. So we did the best we could with what we had, and that's that.
Yep. So you're getting those stories. You're just getting them from sober Phil and Joel instead of trash Phil and
while sitting on a picnic table built on a 41 Willys Jeep.
Yep. And yeah, we tweeted that picture out of the the table so you could see kind of what it looked like. It was kind of cool. Do you have anything to promote this week, Phil?
Not yet.
Not yet. But you're going to have something soon?
Yes, next week.
Next week. All right, I'll hold you to that. I will be at the True Crime Podcast Festival on July 13th in Chicago, and tickets are still available at tcpf2019.com. And as usual, I will host trivia at the Trivia Factory at the Brass Tap in Naples, Florida, on Wednesday from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And on Thursday, I host the Geeks Who Drink Pub Quiz, also a trivia-style game. That is at Fancy Southern Cafe in Fort Myers, Florida, on Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Both games are free to play, and you can win food, drinks, and other prizes.
Whatever happened to the Geeks Who Drink thing? Oh, that's it. You just moved. No, wait, you didn't. Are you still doing that?
Yeah, I'm still doing it. Okay. That's Thursdays.
All right, I got it.
Same company. We just have two different formats of trivia. So the Trivia Factory is more laid back, easygoing, and Geeks Who Drink is pretty intense. 20 questions versus 64 questions.
Oh.
In the same 2-hour time frame.
Sounds like a lot of stress.
It can be, but it's a lot of fun too. You get a lot of competition between the teams.
Anybody trying to cheat?
Oh yeah, yeah. They rat each other out too. That's funny when you get somebody as, hey, this guy's using his phone. You better keep an eye on him.
How bad is it that you have to go and you got to cheat at
trivia?
A trivia. I mean, I do it. I cheat all the time just because it's like, shit, it's like I know it.
Right.
It's either this one or that one, or I'm right there and I just can't pull it. I mean, that's what I meant to say. That's what I meant to write. That's what I was going to write.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't.
I mean, it's for beer.
I mean, yeah, I know. What's your point? I want to win the damn beer.
It's not like it's something that is, you know, you couldn't just plunk down $5 and get one yourself.
Whatever.
All right.
I'm missing the point, Joel.
Right.
All right.
So free beer is the best beer.
Yes, thank you.
Cold beer is the second best beer.
Free cold beer is number one. Then yes. it goes to free beer, and then it goes to cold beer.
Yes.
All right. Let's get in this week's stories. This one, I have not read this one yet, so let's see how this works out. Story number one, Florida man, 80 years young, wrangles a gator in the backyard before calling the cops.
He's got experience.
Elderly Florida man took it upon himself to catch an alligator that had slithered into his Southwest Miami-Dade backyard. But after grappling with the unwanted visitor, he needed some help from the police and the wildlife officials.
At least, he's still out there trying.
Miami-Dade Police and Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission officials responded to a home on Southwest 202 Avenue just after 5 p.m. on Tuesday. 80-year-old Ed Chapman said he spotted the alligator on his property. When he then tried to trap it himself. That thing tugged me all over, he said, carried me twisting and fighting me all the way across the property. Well, how did he trap it?
It's always a guy named Ed, isn't it?
What was he trapping it with? His hands? Or
just wait. It's in there.
All right. Chapman said he learned about the 6.5-foot intruder from his dog, Rocco. Quote, I saw it because my dog ran out and I saw her veer off. Her?
She, yeah, his, she, his female dog.
Female dog is named Rocco.
Yep.
Okay. And then she ran back, he said, and I looked at it and there it was walking and I said, damn, that's a big gator.
I like Ed so far.
I do. So far, I'm with Ed on this one. Ed said he brought out a noose in an attempt to apprehend the unwanted yard guest.
A noose.
I went and got the noose pulled, and I got it around his neck, he said. All right. But Chapman said the alligator was not about to go down without a fight.
They usually don't.
No, they don't usually lay down and play dead.
No.
They're usually a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
He swatted me with his tail and knocked my legs out from under me, he said.
See, that's the point in the fight where I would have been like,
I'm out. I'm out.
If I can get back up and get away from it, I'm fucking lucky. Because, I'm done. One way or another, I'm done with that fight right there.
Chapman said he fell on his side, but he wasn't done wrangling with the reptile.
Stubborn old fucker.
He argued. We argued together until we got all the way over to this pond, he said. And then he got his front legs down in the reeds there, and we went all the way down, and he had his face in the water. It was then the Chapman called 911.
Oh, then he decided.
Yeah, you know what? This bitch is about to drag me underwater. I think
he's taking me into his territory. I think I'm going to let him have this one.
I said, I just need some help. I got it contained, but I just need some help. I can't get him out myself. When asked what he meant when he said that he argued with the alligator, Chapman replied, yeah, we argued. Yeah, he wasn't happy. He tried to reason with it.
He wasn't hearing it.
Yep. Wildlife officials responded within 30 minutes of Chapman's phone call. 30 minutes that he had sat there and hold that thing.
On the rope.
Police officers surrounded the alligator and used duct tape to restrain it. They then put it back on the back of a marked pickup truck. No one was hurt. Officials said the gator would have been about 8 feet long if not for the fact that part of his tail was cut off. Or something like that, they said, happened in the wild. Chapman said his gator encounter is nothing strange. The homeowner collects poisonous snakes for venom research.
What?
And he breeds wolves.
He currently has about 60 snakes
in his collection.
All right, this fucker is crazy.
An 80-year-old man that collects
poisonous snakes for venom research.
And he breeds wolves. Didn't know we had wolves in South Florida.
Is Rocco a wolf? Is she a she-wolf?
He has about 60 snakes in his collection. Chapman, however, disagreed when a reporter called him a tough guy. He said, nah, not tough. I've just been around this stuff a long time, he said. Wildlife experts said alligator mating season is approaching, and they want residents to remain alert as sightings will increase.
I think we have found the original Florida man. 80 years old.
I disagree. This is just a very interesting story from an older man. This is not like a stupid arrested thing. I'm gonna disagree with you there. Yeah, okay. This is the original Floridian. But I don't think this is.
No, he's definitely.
This is Florida man worthy, but this is not one of those. You know, that's he got a mugshot.
No.
And you know that was trying to hide stuff going in the jail. So this is one that's just a very interesting story of older gentleman that happens to have 60 poisonous snakes and breeds wolves tried to wrangle
an alligator,
at least a 7-foot alligator,
at the age of 80.
At 80,
by himself.
Yeah, well, he had Rocco with him.
Sound like Rocco pushed out and ran in the house.
Well, she should.
Story number two: a Florida man stabbed his mattress with his bedpost. Cops say meth may have been involved.
Now, this is one of the stories we lost.
Yes.
But we had to do this one. This is a Florida man story.
This is definitely Florida man. A Florida man began acting erratically early Friday morning, but luckily only an inanimate object was harmed. In a Facebook post, the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office describes what happens before Felipe Oquendo was arrested on suspicion of domestic violence related false imprisonment and possession of drug paraphernalia. Now, you like how I chose this story for me to read?
Yeah,
thank
you.
Felipe Oquendo.
Yeah, I would. I knew Felipe. I would have gotten that right because that's sort of Spanish for Phil. So,
oh, that's right.
So I would have gotten that part right.
But Oquendo?
Yeah, I would have. Oquendo would be how I would have said it.
All right. The girlfriend told officers that the couple were relaxing at their Fort Walton Beach home at around 1 a.m. when the 37-year-old man began to accuse her of cheating on him.
Now, what defines relaxing? They're sitting around watching. What day was this on? I didn't say.
I don't know. 1 a.m.
1 a.m. So they're watching QVC, you know.
Maybe
they were watching the late show. What's the show with the cops on it?
Live PD.
Maybe that, you know.
Yep. He got an idea. Well, he accused her of cheating on him, and he told her he thought he saw her in bed with another man. The victim said Oquendo then proceeded to stab the mattress with a bedpost, tearing it apart with his bare hands, believing the man was inside.
Wait, let me get this straight.
In the mattress.
He thought that his
girlfriend.
Are they married? Girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
His girlfriend's lover was hiding inside the mattress, not under the bed, not in the closet, in the damn mattress.
In the mattress. And he's going to stab it with the bedpost.
And he ripped the bed apart.
Yep.
And stabbed the bed and then starts ripping the mattress apart.
Yes.
Okay. All right. With his bare hands. Okay. All right. I'm with you so far.
He locked the bedroom door and would not allow his girlfriend to leave as per the police report. But while he was tussling with the mattress, the woman was able to escape and call for assistance. Officers interviewed the 37-year-old suspect, who admitted smoking methamphetamine earlier in the day, as per the police report.
And here we go again with meth.
Yeah, so he basically saw her laying in bed and thought the pillow that was laying next to her was another dude, and started stabbing, trying to pull the man that he hallucinated in a meth-fueled frenzy.
Fantastic.
Oquendo told OCSO deputies he was, quote, fighting the man in the mattress, holding him down when they arrived, but the man then slipped out and left.
Well, slippery little bastard, didn't he?
That fucker.
So he caught him.
He caught him. He had him.
He had him in the mattress.
He had him held down, and then the cops got there, and he got away.
He got away.
It's their fault. It's the police's fault. The girlfriend was not injured. Oquendo is behind bars at Okaloosa County Jail on no bond, set to appear in court on May 21st, according to court records.
Yeah, I don't think they had a section in the bond on the charges.
Wait, you did what?
No, you sleep your ass in here. You ain't getting back out.
No,
you don't get to go back out. And
if you're gonna rip the post off the bed to stab the mattress to release the guy,
yeah,
that your girlfriend is cheating on you with out of the mattress.
He was trapped.
He was trapped.
He
in
was
there.
Trapped. He already had
he
it.
He was hiding. He was hiding good.
He was hiding.
But he caught him until the cops got there.
I know. It happens. I mean, you read about it all the time.
You know, if I had a dime for every story like this,
we'd have a dime.
Yep.
We'd have two nickels.
Okay, all right. Felipe.
That's one for the record book. Story number three. Florida woman slapped a man and stabbed the bed he was laying in to, quote, shock him.
See, it's not just Florida man that does this.
Interesting. A Pasco County woman is accused of stabbing a mattress near a sleeping man in an effort to sober him up, according to complaint affidavit.
That would work on me.
Yeah, I'd be, well, if I woke up, if I was passed out and somebody started stabbing the bed with a knife, you awake? You awake now? Get your drunk ass up and start stabbing the knife. And yeah,
I'd be up quick. Vertical.
Deputies with the Pasco County Sheriff's Office were called to a residence in the 7,000 block of Hummingbird Lane in Newport Richey around 12:40 a.m. on Sunday for a domestic disturbance, according to the affidavit. There, a man told deputies he and Amber L. Grace, 39, were fighting when Grace allegedly slapped his face.
That'll wake you up, too.
The man went to the bedroom while Grace stayed in the living room.
That's not, so she's, that's never, she's, never she's, turn your back on an angry woman.
So she slapped him in the face. He went to the bedroom and laid down.
Uh-huh.
When he woke up, the man saw Grace standing over him with a knife raised above her head, according to the affidavit.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Grace then stabbed the bed and the man told deputies. The affidavit noted deputies saw a slice in the bed sheet where the victim's head was laying about 4 inches from the pillow.
Oh, shit.
Grace told deputies she slapped the man, saying he was drunk, and she thought slapping him would help his intoxication level.
Yeah, just knock that alcohol right out of your blood.
She also allegedly admitted to stabbing the bed. Wait, she also allegedly admitted to stabbing the bed and said she wanted to shock the man. It worked.
Yeah, that would shock me.
Yep. Here's the other shocker. You face domestic aggravated assault and aggravated domestic aggravated battery charges. Good luck with that.
So, Phil, when we were in Daytona last week.
We were in Daytona?
Yeah. So I picked up this little book called Fabulous Florida.
Fabulous Florida.
And it is.
And where did you get said book?
I got this book at the Ponce Inlet Lighthouse at the gift shop there.
Okay. All right.
And it was a nice little.
That's a little, cheapy nice, book. Nice little.
But it has 459 facts about Florida.
Really?
Yeah. So I figured I'll let you pick from number 1 to 459, and I'll read a fact about Florida for our listeners.
I'm going with number 1.
Number 1, starting right out the beginning.
Yeah, the way I can keep up with it.
All right, number 1. Florida has more golf courses than any other state.
Riveting. I'd like to pick another number, please.
Sure, go for it.
420.
420. That was my hotel room number.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with the public.
420. These days, Payne's Prairie is flat and grassy, home to wild horses and bison. But a little more than 100 years ago, steamboats crossed the same area, then called Alachua Lake. In 1891, the lake drained into the aquifer so fast that one steamer, the Chacala, was left sitting on dry land. The area has gone from lake to plain several times in recorded history. Riveting.
That is riveting.
That is fabulous.
How much did you pay for the book?
$6.95 plus tax.
Okay.
So we'll do that. We'll read a fact or two every episode now.
This just breaking. We have breaking news.
Do we?
Yep. We did. Somebody just, who was this? Just now, news just in. Cassandra just commented on our post from Facebook where we're sitting on the picnic table, and I quote, "That is legit cool." Yeah, damn right, Cassandra, it was.
It was. It was a lot of, that was a lot of fun. Story number four, Florida man gropes fingerprint technician while being booked for disorderly conduct.
He did what?
A Florida man allegedly groped a fingerprint technician last week after he was arrested for disorderly conduct at a bar in Pinellas Park, where he yelled sexually aggressive comments at the bar's female proprietor. Jack Dylan Evans, age 44, was arrested on Wednesday for allegedly yelling at a female staffer at the Down the Hatch bar in Pinellas Park about his intentions to have sex with her. "Hey, baby, I'm gonna fuck you." Later, Evans continued his disorderly behavior by groping the buttocks of the female fingerprint technician at Pinellas County Jail, who was processing him, according to a police report. But, Jack...
Hang on, I had to tell Cassandra that we were recording this episode, and you may have just gotten a shout out. That is live social media.
That is
connecting with our audience in real time.
It was, yeah, exactly. Should get her number, see if she can call in.
I'm not going to ask her for a number. That's creepy, Joel.
Okay. Anyway, So Jack was getting handsy with the fingerprint technician.
Yeah, I saw that. This is another story we did on the beach that we lost. But was a little aggressive with the bartender.
Yeah, police were called to the bar around 5:30 p.m. on Wednesday after a victim claimed Evans had been harassing her. The accused yelled, quote, obscenities and told the victim he wanted to have sex with her despite her telling him no and asking him to leave her business, according to the report. Evans continued to make sexual comments after authorities arrived at the scene. After being transported to Pinellas County Jail, authorities booked Evans on a misdemeanor charge. While Evans was being processed by fingerprint technician Dina Pham at around 10 p.m. that evening, he allegedly groped her buttocks, claiming that he had done so because, quote, she was sexy, unquote, according to a criminal complaint. So they, let me get this straight. The cops got there at 5:30. He didn't get booked till 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Maybe it was a busy night. Where was this?
Pinellas?
Yeah.
Yeah. The defendant reaching with his left hand down to the victim's right buttocks area and rubbed the area as the victim was fingerprinting the subject as part of the booking process, the complaint said. Police filed a second charge, battery on a Pinellas County Sheriff's Office employee,
dope,
against Evans after Pham identified him as her perpetrator.
And that stepped it up too.
Corroborated by surveillance footage, the felony charge.
Felony.
Carries a $5,000 bond.
He was going to get, he was just, yeah, yeah, he stepped it up a notch with that.
Yeah, went from a misdemeanor to a felony just by grabbing a little ass. Authorities ordered Evans to keep away from the Down the Hatch bar, and the accused has been convicted for trespassing twice this year.
Yep.
Jack.
He's done for a little bit.
Jack, you need to, well, he just needs to go home and jack.
Joel. It's so lame. On that note, story number five. Florida man tries to keep his wife from leaving him with a tractor. Now, was she trying to leave him with a tractor, or he tried to stop her from leaving and he was on the tractor?
He tried.
Okay, got it. Florida man was arrested by sheriff's deputies last week for allegedly driving a tractor into his wife's car in an attempt to stop her from leaving a Paxton home.
As you do.
Well, it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. The husband, identified as Danny Lee Stewart, was booked into the Walton County Jail on April the 13th and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill.
No, he was just trying to stop her.
Yeah. The wife was not named in the arrest report, which was obtained this week by the News Herald. Stewart, age 64, told police that his partner had been trying to leave with, quote, his stuff. But according to the arrest report cited in the Herald, his wife told deputies the man crashed a tractor through a fence in an attempt to stop her from leaving.
Just, you can run, but you can't hide.
Jeez. I'm going to go. I'm not going around the fence. Mm-mm. I'm going through this fucker.
I'm announcing my presence with authority. The News Herald reported an officer noted damage on the wife's truck aligned with information provided by the woman. So this is expert. He's starting to connect the dots on the investigation here.
Mm-hmm.
While context remains unclear, the arrest report says the incident was sparked following an argument after the wife briefly went home to pick up some items. Stewart was detained by deputies from the Walton County Sheriff's Office after the suspected domestic disturbance, which occurred close to the Walton County Fire and Rescue Station.
Why is that relevant?
I don't know why that's important, but anyway. His mugshot was posted online by a system maintained by the Northwest Florida Daily News. That is irrelevant also in the story as well. It is not immediately clear what, quote, stuff Stewart believed his wife was taking from him.
Does it matter?
Well, I think I missed a part of this. I did. So one thing that we missed in that, I'm sorry, I was reading ahead and got to talking. We missed a very important part of this.
Yes.
So Stewart, age 64, had told police that his partner had been trying to leave with his stuff. But according to the arrest report, she crashed. All right, here's what it was. So I missed a very crucial part of the story, and I got to talking and lost my place in the story. But anyway, the arrest report says that the wife said he smashed into the driver's back window and door of her vehicle with the tractor's pallet forks. So those are the forks to go pick up pallets. So it's basically he speared it.
Yes.
If he had been smart,
he would have
put the pallet jack under the truck and picked the truck up, thereby not allowing her picking the wheels up off the ground, not allowing her to leave.
Maybe that's what he was trying to do.
And he missed?
And he missed.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, when you're aggravated, it's really hard to run a forklift.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never tried to run a forklift while angry, but, well, I mean, or a tractor with pallet forks on it.
I used to.
But he basically speared it.
Yeah. I used to, when I was in high school, I drove a forklift in one of the jobs I worked in.
Good for you, Joe.
I drove it. They tell you you're supposed to keep it on the concrete. They told me, keep it on the concrete. Don't roll it into the blacktop. And I found out why that was.
Why?
Because the blacktop is soft and pallet or the forklift was heavy and the concrete was solid. But once you roll off into that into that blacktop, it just sunk right down in.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Did you get fired?
No. That was like my second day.
Oh, good. That's a way to come out with authority there, Joel.
Yep. But yeah, it only took five of us to lift it back up onto the concrete.
That's good.
Because I only went. It happened so quick. It was just the back wheels. It wasn't all four wheels.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe you, by the way.
Okay. Well, it wouldn't be anything I'd lie about.
You can't make that shit up.
No. Just like story number six. Florida man breaks into office, leaves sign in window saying secretary wanted $17 an hour. Deputies in Charlotte County are looking for the man who broke into the business office of Custom Pools by Precision on Tamiami Trail in Port Charlotte on Saturday, April 27th. Once inside, the man made himself at home, using the computer to surf the web and helping himself to a drink out of the fridge. But the weirdest thing is what he left in the window, a sign saying, secretary wanted, $17 per hour. What the? This is worse than the guy that broke into the restaurant naked. At least him, I understand. He's in there. He helps himself to a beer. He has a sandwich. You know, this guy
breaks into a pool shop
and apparently is hiring people.
trying to help him out. So this perpetrator is for breaking and entering and whatever else, I guess, is still on the loose. So we could actually help catch a criminal here.
We could. Deputies are hoping someone recognizes him. And if you do, call the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. And
how would they go about recognizing him?
I have the picture from the security camera, and that's going to be in the show art for this week.
Okay. He put a sign in
secretary
the
secretary wanted.
$17. That ain't bad money. That's, right off the bat. Yeah. Nothing about experience required. Nothing like that. No. Nothing. No. All right.
How can you imagine coming into your office? Who the fuck put this sign up over the weekend? We don't pay $17 an hour.
And where are people coming in and didn't know this? They didn't know the sign was up. And all of a sudden people come in wanting to put in an application.
No, we're not hiring a secretary. Well, your sign says
you are.
What sign? I don't make $17 an hour.
Sure as hell ain't going to pay you. All right. Well, that's the show for this week, folks. If you want to hear more, subscribe to the podcast using the links in the show notes.
And if you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to Florida Men.
Like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Florida Men Pod.
Got a suggestion for a story you'd like us to cover? Send us an email to floridamenpodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 567-432-9674. And we did get an email this week. This one came from Dustin. He said, I've been listening since I heard your promo on the feed, and I'm really enjoying your show. It helps make me feel better about living in Idaho. However, I have a few burning questions. In the awesome song Ballad of the Florida Man, there's a reference to Disneyland. It would seem pretty crazy for a Florida man to have a season pass to a theme park in California rather than Disney World. I have to know, is this a mistake or a joke?
Well, he's got a very good point, Joel.
Yes.
Yeah. And he has a very valid point.
Yes.
And said point was made during the writing of the song.
Yes. And I said it was kind of a joke, kind of an Easter egg, but world didn't rhyme.
bottom line is
good catch, Dustin.
Yeah, we're not real good music writers, so we couldn't find a word in the fit that rhymed with world, so we stuck in land.
Yeah. And his other question is, who is Tracy? Keep up the good work.
I don't want to get into this with Tracy. Anyway, so Tracy was way back in the early episodes.
Phil made some disparaging remarks about
clowns. I am not a huge fan of clowns. And, no. Well, we got a call and a couple voicemails from said person, Tracy, who claims that she was with the International Clown Association and so it didn't go well after that.
You're just been out of shape because you are under surveillance from the International Clown Association.
Whatever. So that's why I do not like Tracy.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tracy is watching Phil.
And it's Dustin has his own podcast as well.
Yeah. Atheist Nomads is Dustin Williams' podcast. But Dustin says, keep up the good work. Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Dustin. We appreciate it. If you'd like to support the show financially, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/floridamen or to get early access and extended ad-free episodes and other cool stuff, you can subscribe at patreon.com/floridamen.
And we'd like to thank our Patreon subscribers personally. They are Colin, Koneth, Erica, Heather, woo-hoo, Jessica, Katie, Matt, Paradise After Dark Podcast, Roxanne, Stephanie, The Hidden Staircase Podcast, and Travis, and our newest patron, Kurt.
Kurt subscribed to the podcast?
Kurt is a patron, yeah. Kurt sent us a message. He said, you guys are awesome. I work with Phil, and Joel is my favorite co-host, LOL.
Son of a bitch.
Keep up what you're doing.
He's going to pay for that. You know, he says LOL at the end of it. You left that part off.
No, I said it. You were so exasperated that you didn't hear it.
Thanks, brother. We appreciate you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks to all our patrons.
He's
really
a personal friend, and he's been a listener from way back in the day. So we appreciate it, brother. We both do. This program is provided for informational use only. No warranty or professional relationship is implied, and no refunds will be granted.
Views expressed on this program are solely the opinions of the Florida Men Podcast and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and do not imply an endorsement by our sponsors, spouses, families, employers, each other, or the Florida Board of Tourism.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or retransmission without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.
This podcast was recorded at Southern Audio Production Studios in Fort Myers, Florida, and mixed during an evening thunderstorm under a hand-woven blanket with a bottle of rosé.
And as always, we'll finish up tonight with the Ballad of the Florida Man. And Tracy, once again, you can kiss my ass.
Florida man, might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida man. He's got his feet in the sand while he works on his tan. He's got an annual pass to Disneyland. He drinks his beer from a can, he lives in his van. It's a mobile tiny house inside. It's Florida Man. Florida Man. Might be crazy, might be stupid, he's a Florida Man. Florida Man. He's a dumbass, but we love him, he's a Florida Man.